It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 363. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can visit the Mike Tech Show wiki for links of all of the archives, and that's at mtswiki.com. Please follow me on Twitter so you can find out when I'm going live or when the show's posted, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. And also, you can send me a Facebook friend request at facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. I have no email or voicemail tonight, but a jam-packed show of things, problems that I have solved, and, of course, a consulting story that began last night and into right up into showtime, and I want to talk about that and what went into solving the problems for my client and what I ran into and some of the difficulties and some of the help that I received. So the first thing, I want to wrap up some of the problems that I have been talking about. And last week, there was a problem with my client with file sharing. And this is the same computer and the same two PCs that I had the problem with a while ago, like a few shows ago. Something had to be running on one of the XP systems, and it was turning off file sharing, and the user was not doing anything. So we have two systems that were connected, that were talking and sharing files, and the one system consistently could access the other system, but this one computer, file sharing, literally was unchecked. So what is unchecking file and print sharing? I found the answer. It's a Lenovo laptop that is connected to a docking station. Googling revealed from the Lenovo forums to check for a utility called Access Connection. And this is a special Lenovo utility that if you have these checkboxes checked to disable file and print sharing and a couple other things, every time you reboot, it will implement that policy. I found the utility, and of course, the box to say disable file and print sharing was checked. I unchecked that, and once I found that, my problem went away, and user had no issues now, and the problem's solved. Actually, did not take me long to find once I started realizing that it had to be Lenovo specific. And that was the key, because there was too many things for like file sharing is why it's not working. And there's just so much stuff out there. But once I narrowed it down to Lenovo, right away, the Lenovo forums revealed this. And that was a great big help. Refine your searches in Google to be as specific as possible so you can get as close as you can to the result. And that certainly paid off. There's a follow-up to last week. I talked about my Slingbox that I got for Father's Day. Firefox automatically upgraded to 5.0 because 5.0 is released. And wouldn't you know it, the plugin from Slingbox does not work with Firefox 5.0. But it's not because of a functionality problem. It's just because it's checking for version 3 or 4. Why would you develop? I guess they're afraid that there's going to be enough changes. but the code literally looks for version 3 or 4 of Firefox, and if it's not, it won't work. Enter Grease Monkey. And Grease Monkey is a great little extension where you can add scripts for anything that you want to run, even overriding the ability of an extension not to install and lets it run. I found the solution, downloaded and installed Grease Monkey, and then installed this script to override the version check. And now my Slingbox plugin works. So I figured I would throw that out there because I had to use Grease Monkey for a client that wanted to stay connected to the satellite radio connection. And there was a great little Grease Monkey script that allowed that to happen. So it's something I don't think I've talked about, but you should definitely look into that to really add more functionality and some tweaks and some things that can really help with Firefox. If you run into an issue, there could be a Grease Monkey script that can get you out of that problem and can help you out. Terminal server printing. Finally resolved everything. Here's what you have to do if you have remote desktop set up with a terminal server and you have computers and they're trying to print to their default printer or one of their printers that's local to their machine, here's what you have to do. And it took a lot of time to get this worked out. You must have the same driver version number installed on the server for the printer, and it has to be the exact driver version number, even if it's a different operating system, on the workstation. So I have an XP workstation, and I have a Windows Server 2003 server running terminal services. The HP color printer, the driver version must match. So I have the same 6.2 whatever driver version on the server. You install it on the workstation. You now make the workstation, you pick that as the default printer. When you connect to remote desktop, you must now pick that session with your computer name in the printers and faxes section of the server and make it your default printer. So the easiest way to do this, I have three users who are part of one of my retainer clients. They're at a temporary location working on a project, and they have a printer local to that site, but they want to print to it while they're connecting remotely to the server. The easiest thing for me to solve this for them was to remote into their desktops and install the printer driver. And then I logged in as that user in the remote desktop and set everything up. It was so much easier to just do it myself than the many, many emails going back and forth trying to explain exactly what had to happen. So I just said, enough's enough. I'm going to get in and do it myself. It was so much easier. So keep that in mind. Anytime you have something complex that you're trying to explain to someone or a client, you know, sometimes it's easier just remote in and do it yourself, and rather than go through the pain of trying to explain how to do it. That's something that's tricky and doesn't work all the time and a real pain, but it was nice to have the solution and to get everything solved. That was another problem solved for a client. Last night, we recorded Tech Vets. I posted it up, but I noticed that I did not receive an email that the backup that my client has that backs up off-site did not work because I did not receive an email saying that it failed or that it was successful. At the end of the show, I quickly logged in and I seen that the backup had hung. So I needed to fix that. Was able to save Tech Vets, posted it up, ended the show, and then proceeded to spend the next few hours trying to work this out. The program, and I'm not going to talk about the service, but they have a kind of peculiar way of when you cancel the backup job, you must go through a process to undo the last backup. And that's because of all the encryption. So you basically have to let the server know that you're undoing that last backup request so we can clean everything up. All right, makes sense. But this undo process is longer than the backup. So it's a couple hours. And now we're into 1 a.m. and it gets to the end and there's a question and it's yes or no. I have a 50-50 chance of this being right. Well, I picked the wrong one because it said, are you sure that you want to undo from this? And the way it explained everything, I was like, oh no, I don't want to do that. Well, I tried to kick off a backup and it said, you have to undo the last backup. I'm like, oh no. Here we go. Another few hours. It's already 1 a.m. Another few hours, and then it's going to finish. Well, I gave up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was still running. And I said, I'm just going to let this run. I kicked off an email to my client and told them the situation and that I'll work it out during the day. At 7 a.m., I received a phone call that the internet was down for my client. This is the same client. Well, I wasn't doing anything that impacted the internet, so why is the internet down? I quickly log on to my computer, and I couldn't see any system. So clearly the internet was down. I wanted to make sure, was the server offline, or was it truly the internet? Then I have the person who called me take a look at the switches, and I said, are they on? Is there blinking lights there? And they said, yes. So I said, I have to shower, change. I will be over there as quickly as I can, but start a phone call to Comcast because that's their main internet provider, and let's see what's going on. By the way, they also, for a backup, have a Fios connection. So this is a great time to implement our rollover to the backup internet, which is a manual process, but that was okay. We went through the cost benefits of having this happen automatically, and you definitely need a more complicated and expensive router to be able to handle everything automatically. So we opted to make this a manual cutover. So I head over. My one client called Comcast, and Comcast said they could not see the modem. So they are dispatching someone, and they wouldn't be there from 11 a.m. to 3. Now, this is 8 a.m. They can't wait that long for Comcast tech to come out. So I begin cutting them over to the Fios connection. It wasn't that difficult, but I had not programmed the Fios router for the network. One of the things, we didn't have the default password for the Fios, and it had clearly been set up because usually when Fios, when you get a router, when you first log in, tells you to reset the password. So I said, enough of this. I just put it to the factory defaults. I had my laptop. I plugged right into the Fios router, and I made it the same default gateway as the SonicWall firewall, which I was eliminating and not going to use for the Fios connection to get them internet access. Now, the only thing that would not work would be inbound email because there's a different static IP address. So the MX record is the IP address that Comcast supplied. So they do have an email server. It's Small Business Server 2008 with Exchange Server 2007. As a matter of fact, it's the server that Winston helped me last summer migrate. I put the Fios router in place. I have the right IP address for the gateway. Everything's working. They have internet access. Life is good. So now, all we got to do is wait for Comcast to come and fix everything. Right as I was getting ready to leave, Comcast shows up, and they bring with them a new modem. One of the things he looked at, he said, boy, you know, he says, I think this modem's fine. He says, I don't know why they couldn't access it, but since they couldn't access it and you're having a problem, I'm going to put the modem in. It's going to take a while because they got to program it and download code, and it's going to take some time. So I left everything cabled properly as long as they made it the same IP address that it was in the past. Not a problem. So I reviewed that with them. They were set. Now I had to get to my B&I lunch, and I left and headed to the lunch. They made the cutover, and I got a phone call saying something's not right. They can't get to the internet, and the Comcast tech said it's because the DNS changed from Comcast. So I have to make those changes in the server. But I'm like, wait a second. I don't have to make that because we're not doing any forward. We're not using forwarders on the DNS setup. That doesn't make any sense. So there's something else going on. My client said they could wait a couple more hours, and they left the Fios connection in until I got back. So I get back and I unplug the Fios, I plug everything in, and I said, you know what? Maybe the Sonic wall just needs to be rebooted because it's got to, you know, marry up to the Comcast modem and, you know, with everything and the ARP cache and there's just so many things. It's just better to reboot the Sonic wall firewall. So I unplug it, I reboot it, and all's working. So this is about 2 o'clock. Everything is working and it's nice. So I figure I can come home, catch a little nap so I can be ready for the show tonight. I get home and I swear I must have been out for like 5 minutes. You know how you are napping and you're just getting into where you're going to be asleep and the phone rings and just wakes me up. I answer, and it's my client saying, Mike, I'm on the phone with Comcast. We're down again. This can't be the Comcast modem. And now Comcast says they can access the modem. So I have my client try to ping the IP address of the Sonic Wall firewall, which is the default gateway on the network. They can't ping it. Now the light bulb goes off. All along, it was the Sonic Wall. It wasn't Comcast. So there's a problem with the Sonic Wall firewall. Now, I have a spare one here for the client on a shelf. That's a long story where they had one in their house, and the tech before me was trying to connect a VPN up so he could replicate between two small business servers, which is impossible. And what a mess. So we dismantled that, and I said, I'll hold on to that as a spare, as a backup. So it's the same model. I have this spare Sonic wall. I go over there and I unplug the Sonic wall, plug it in, and you know what? It lasts for about 5 minutes, and then I can't ping it anymore. So clearly, there's the problem with the Sonic wall. It's now towards the end of the day. Everybody's leaving at 4 o'clock, and I decide to, all right, I will set up the new Sonic firewall. So I'm not sure how that tech left it with the passwords or anything. So I look up how to do a factory reset to the default. And you literally just hold the paperclip in for 10 seconds while the tool's light blinks. When that blinks, you can leave go and you can log in to the Sonic wall in what they call safe mode. Safe mode allows you to upload, download firmware images and a whole bunch of other things. But one nice option is to reload the firmware with the factory default settings. This would then prompt me through a wizard for picking a new password, setting it up. I said, great. I set up. I'm able to do all this, and I get to the point where I'm setting up the firewall, and I'm setting up all the rules. I got it in place. I try to register the Sonic wall, and this is where I'm worried because it limits how many connections there are until it's registered. I try to register it by creating an account, and I'm using the serial number, and the website says this serial number is already registered. So I know I have to go through a process with SonicWall to get that all squared away. And I'm not ready to do that tonight. I want to get everything up and running for my client. And I want to get back here and do the show. I am at a point where I'm not sure what to do. And at the same time, inbound email is not working. I can get to the internet. Everything's working. I call my friend Winston Wolf, who's going through his own issues at home with electrical. We won't go there, but he has his own problems that he's dealing with. But he talks to me and says, Mike, look, you're just asking for problems if you keep that SonicWall in the loop. You need to get another firewall, but not just the firewall. He said, he explained, and this is where I was missing a piece. When you get a public IP address from Comcast, they usually give you five. They assign one and they reserve another four IP addresses. They never give you one, and this is why. Their router should be a pass-through to your firewall. You should never use their box as a firewall. I tried tonight. An inbound email would not forward into the server. Now, Winston's in the chat, and he corrected me and said he has a single IP address. But I have absolutely ran into this with a client where they wanted one IP address, but the default was five, and they had to get five. Either way, the IP address that is programmed into the Comcast router is not the IP address that is the default MX record for our inbound email. So what you have to do, you need another router where the WAN interface is that MX IP address and the default gateway is the IP address that's assigned to the Comcast router. That's the piece I was missing. And I could have set up the SonicWall firewall for that, but I was afraid that it's going to reach its connection limit. There's going to be some issues because it's not registered. So I need another firewall. And Winston's like, you got to go to Best Buy. And I said, well, I have a Dynex router in my trunk. I have literally a four-port router that's been sitting there for 2 years in my trunk as an emergency, just in case I needed a router. Well, here I am. It's 6 o'clock at night, Eastern time, and I need a router. So I go out to my car, I grab the router, then I have no idea what the last settings of where that was and when the last time I ever used it. And I had the manual and the whole box and everything was there, so it was great. So I quickly reset the router to the default IP address. I connect it just directly to my laptop. I give it the proper gateway IP address, which was the SonicWall. I set up the WAN information, and I plug in the Comcast router. I'm getting out to the internet. Now I got to add all of the firewall rules because we need inbound, because it's an SBS server, I need inbound mail, inbound HTTPS, inbound for remote web workplace, port 987. So I have multiple ports, which of course Winston reviewed with me, and away we go. Once I was given the key, which was that extra step of setting up the WAN interface, I was home free. I let Winston go way before I started configuring that, called him back to let him know, hey, I'm up and running and there's going to be a show tonight. And I was able to clean everything up, test email. That was another thing. I had to make sure that I could send mail out, receive mail in. I was doing that. I had to check my iPhone connection because there's a couple people with iPhones. That's working. I called my client, let him know everything's working, and explained the decisions I made, which was using this temporary router firewall until we get everything worked out for the licensing and the software on the SonicWall. I just wanted to let you know everything that I go through, and that was tonight up until literally the last moment where I did not even change, up until the last moment of coming back from my client, coming here and starting the show, and we only started a few minutes late. And then what happens to me? Well, I try to log in and start broadcasting, and Firefox locks up, and it locks up so bad I have to reboot my system. Everything that could happen was happening, but at the end, everything's working, and that's all that matters. If I had ran into more difficulties, there would have been no show tonight, because my clients come first, and especially this client. This is my biggest client. And when the president was leaving, as she was heading out the door and I was there working on the system, I said, I will not leave here tonight until email is going out and coming in. When they come in the morning, it's going to be working perfectly. That is the dedication that you have to have for your customers, and they will appreciate it. And I know they're going to appreciate it, because this week, you know, you go through weeks with clients where sometimes you have no work, and then sometimes I'm just so much work. A thumbs up to Shadow Protect, which I use for this client to back up my small business server there, and their accountant, their in-house person that takes care of the finances for the business, their Peachtree software, as they were closing the books for the fiscal year, the database got corrupt and they had a problem. And earlier in the week, I was able to go take one of the drives that I swap out and keep off-site for them. They need it from that particular day from last week. I bring that drive over. I plug it in, USB. I fire up Shadow Protect. I mount the backup from the exact day that they needed to get back to. I copy that database. They connect from their software, and it was perfect. It was flawless. And the person, when they called me, they were a wreck, because they kept trying and trying, and the data is damaged, and they can't do anything, and the software's saying you got to go through a restore process, and they were panicked, and I was able to come over there and ease the pain by quickly restoring their file. This is the same client, so this is a week of a very high, many touches to the client with all these little problems and all these things happening. Yes, Shadow Protect, they're not a sponsor, but the point is, have reliable backup software that you have tested. Doesn't have to be Shadow Protect, but whatever the software is, make sure you've done a test and be confident that you can always get to a file. That's why last night, when their data is now also going every night off-site to the cloud and it didn't work, I have to make sure it works. That's my job. That's what I'm responsible for. So you need software that's going to alert you via email whether it was successful or it was not. And then the absence of an email tells you something, which is what happened last night. So the program locked to a point where it couldn't even send me an email. All of these things add up to a happy, successful client. And what was the reward? My reward was, this client recommended another small business that this week I have now added under contract as another client for my company. And it was a tremendous referral from this person, from the president of this company. And it doesn't get any better than that. And that's why you take care of your clients. You do everything that you can do to make them happy, to make sure it works, and you will benefit from it. And this was one of the benefits. And when I was there in the interview process, which, by the way, one visit and it was a close on the single visit, because the recommendation came from the president of this company is viewed by everybody as an extremely tough individual. Someone who is very particular, very tough to please, And this new client said, if you get a referral from her that this person spoke so highly of me, and not only me, but in the conversation, and this helps, spoke highly of Winston. And you're like, Winston, that's right. Because remember, my client met him last year. And he actually, his name came up in the conversation with this new client. Because my existing client said, you know what? If Mike doesn't know the answer, he's got a friend, Winston, that can solve it. That they work together. And she says, I truly believe there's no problem that between the two of them they can't solve. And she says this as part of the referral. When she is mentioning this, and I said, I have a very good network of people that I have access to that can solve problems. And they said, oh, Winston? And I said, how'd you hear that? And she explained how it was described. And that's fine. I'm not afraid to say, I don't know something and I'm going to go for help and I'm going to go. Be honest, be straightforward, but also it shows your network of your resources and how to tap them and how to have access, because there's not going to be a problem that we can't solve. That is my consulting stories for the week. Just please remember that in support of the show, go to MikeNation.net, MikeTechShow.com, and there's this big Amazon link on the left-hand side. Click on that, and a commission will help support the show. And your price stays the same. This is how you can really give back and help me out. And I so appreciate everybody who has been using that. It's phenomenal. Thank you very, very much. I have some independent music for tonight. I've played this a long time ago, and I don't even know if they're around. The group is Every Eddie, and they're from Philadelphia. And the song, Superhero, give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up. Thank you. That is Every Eddie and the song Superhero. I will find their website and have it in the show notes. I want to thank everybody for staying subscribed to the show, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I do recording the show. Thank you for all of your support. Have a great holiday weekend if you're in the States. Coming up, you got the 4th of July, so stay safe, stay cool. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.